This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now on this. If the Warriors were to win a title this year, where would it rank in terms of unlikeliest championships in Bay Area sports history? I mean, do you remember the line from AshCon in the Don't Stop Believin' video for the 2010 Giants? One of the lines in there is, thankfully the Padres choked. The Giants were not going to even go to the playoffs. There was about 3.5 weeks to go, and it was like, I don't know. And then the Giants got hot, and the Padres lost every day. They showed up, and they lost. And then they lost, and they lost, and they lost. And the Giants went into the final weekend. They came out on the other side. They won the division. Then obviously they got hot. People started Cody Rawson. People were doing amazing things
right in
the postseason that you didn't see coming. And then even after they worked their way all the way through the playoffs and they beat Philly, and then all of a sudden they arrive at the World Series. And I've told this story before. I'll never forget. I think it was J.P. Morosi who sat there on Fox and went, okay, let's preview the World Series. Understand, the Rangers are already ahead of the Giants 2-0. Before they even start.
That doesn't seem fair.
Doesn't seem fair, but he thought it was true. Solely for this reason. Cliff Lee doesn't lose games in the playoffs. So it's 2-0 Rangers before we even start. And the Giants were big underdogs. And then they came out in game one. Tim Lincecum forgets what's going on out there in the very first inning. And everybody's got a lump in their throat as we go to the bottom of the first. Flash forward 3 hours later. We're pouring out onto the streets of San Francisco. Cops are stopping every car from driving through. Everybody got to take over, drink, have a great time. Giants had double-digit runs on the board. Take that, Cliff Lee. Take that. So, yeah, surprising, for sure. But for me, not as surprising as this would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that team was at least in some sort of playoff attack position for the majority of the year. Maybe if you're talking about the projection from before the year started, but all year long, they were playing good baseball. This team stunk. They stunk for the first 3 months.
I get it, but you're dealing with champions. You're dealing with, you know, some guys who have 4 rings and now a guy who's been to the NBA Finals. And so I do think the pedigree matters. You were mentioning the Giants, and I'm looking on Wednesday, August 25th. Zito takes the loss. Cincinnati gets you 12-11 in the game at home,
yep.
Which seems crazy, 23 runs at that ballpark.
Yeah.
So you lose 12-11, game time 4 hours, 25 minutes, by the way.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, that thing went on and on.
Get extra popcorn.
So now you're 6.5 back with 34 games left to go. Seemed unlikely. So I do think that surprise factor. And this one, you know, you've got champions. And yes, they've been, you know, kind of flatlining all year as a 10 seed. So it would be a big surprise. It would be, I wonder about the bigger surprise, 2022 or this one.
What do you think?
I think 2022 is a bigger surprise.
You've got to be kidding me,
no,
really?
Just because, I mean, that team for me, and I, you give me a hard time all the time because I counted them out multiple times.
Dude, fair. I'm not saying it wasn't surprising, but that team's record was sparkly the whole year. Remember, they came out, they were firing on all cylinders. When we compared these two teams to one another a week and a half ago with where the Warriors' record was at the All-Star break, Everybody in the room was shocked. 55 games in.
Yep.
And the Warriors were what?
41-14.
41-14 as opposed to 28-27. That's very different.
It is, but then they lose 25 of the last 37. So they really kind of ran the fade route. And yeah, I know Steph was
Steph
out.
Steph got hurt, yeah.
But even when he came back, I didn't feel like, all right, now this team, they're going to hum. And, you know, you had to dig deep to beat Memphis in six and Boston in six. It looked like, I think Boston might have been favored in that series or it was very close either way.
Yeah, they were slight.
Yeah, I still, even though they made the playoffs, it still didn't feel to me like, oh, like the two previous titles with KD, it was just a question of whether or not they'd lose a game.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, I get it. And a couple of texts to tell you about. 408 says, I'd put the 2012 Giants up there. Now, I'd say again, maybe it matters when you're asking the question. If you had asked, how surprised are you that the Giants won the World Series when they're sitting there in Cincinnati down 0-2? Or when they're in St. Louis with Zito on the bump down 3-1, sure, if it's in those moments. But again, the Giants at that point were a playoff team all year. They were a really good team all year, and they were 2 years off of a championship. And not old and decrepit and all the things that people have called this year's yeah. Warriors. Again, for me, this is what the deciding card is. And again, you can all, whatever surprises you, you can, and somebody did bring up, as you did this morning, the 1975 championship
yeah,
for the
oh
Warriors.
Yeah, the old heads.
I was completely surprised by that, because I was 5 months old, and I was like, no way!
Yeah.
We're champs already? I've only been here for 5 months! It was incredible.
I love the young
Seriously.
People.
But anyway, if you're looking at this year's team, I don't even think a comp exists for this in any city ever. When has an NBA team grabbed a bunch of stars that have all had their 35th birthday, been 500 at the break, and then run to a title?
Well, even
I don't think that exists.
I don't think that you even need to do all that. I don't think you could look at any team in the NBA that's won a title with a core of guys who are all over 35.
Yeah.
Forget what their record was or how they did it.
And, good point.
You know, we've looked at the Boston Celtics, when they had Pierce and Garnett and all the fellas, they were in their early 30s. They weren't 35, 36, and about to be 37, which is, I guess, Draymond and Jimmy are both 35, and Steph's going to be 37.
Right.
So that core was about 5 years younger apiece, and you had Rajon Rondo in his early 20s. So I don't think you can find a comp, and even if you go to San Antonio's last title, where Kawhi led them, and Tim Duncan was 106, he was not even in the core anymore.
Right.
It was right. Kawhi and, you know, Boris Diaw.
Like
and
I'd get it, too, if let's say you make a deal at the break, and the Warriors are still like, I don't know, they're kind of struggling a little bit here, and then that Kuminga ankle gets healthy, and he gets out there, and it pops. It really pops. And 22-year-old Jonathan Kuminga for the remainder of the year averages 27 a night. And he's got some playoff games where he's putting up 34 and 35. If that were to happen, then I'm like, okay, I get it. You had an absolute burst. You had a coming of age of a young player who's got all of his talent still in that body and ready to fly. But the thing that's crazy about this is the Warriors are taking off and playing their best basketball in 2 years before Jonathan even comes back. It's all being buoyed by someone who's 35 and has never played in this uniform before until 2 weeks ago. That's what would be mind-blowing to me if this were to end up where the Warriors say they think it can go.
Yeah, and it. I mean, Draymond's already called a shot, and he says this is where it's going to go. And I do think the 75 Warriors is interesting because they didn't expect to be a team that could do that, although you had Rick Barry and you wound up with the best record in the Western Conference, and you know the next year you'd have a team that was close to going back-to-back, so it wasn't like a complete one-off for the Golden State Warriors. And you know, we talk about breaks. They didn't have to play the 60-win Celtics that year in the finals because somebody knocked off Boston. So they did catch a little break, but the next year they won 59 games. So it wasn't just a one-off. It was a good cluster of years for Rick Barry.
The poll is up on both Twitter and YouTube, and it's a simple yes/no. You don't even have to really work hard to vote on this one. It's yes or no. Would a 2025 Warriors championship be the most surprising title in Bay Area sports history? Yes or no? I voted yes. I voted yes, and very early returns. We're only like 20-some-odd votes in.
Yeah.
83% of the votes are coming in on the yes side.
It would be surprising. I still would look at the 2010 Giants as more surprising. And I was thinking about other titles in the Bay that we haven't discussed, like the A's, 72, 73, 74. Those teams were stacked. Those teams were absolutely loaded.
Best team in baseball.
The 89 A's. And, you know, if the earthquake doesn't happen, maybe the series goes differently. I don't think it does. They made three straight World Series. That team was stacked. Yep. So, and I think that team won 100 or more games in all three of those years.
Yeah, but they lost the other two World Series.
They did.
Yeah.
The Gibson Limpy Homer and then the Nasty Boys
in
1990.
Yeah.
Yep, but even the 89 title was not that surprising because that team was absolutely loaded top
completely.
To bottom.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
So,
I mean, look, they all hit a different way when they happen. And obviously we're playing a wild hypothetical right now.
And isn't it fun to be in a market where we can do this?
Oh, God.
You know?
That's a great point.
Go to like, you know, I guess pick a city.
Go to Arizona.
Right.
They got all the teams. They got baseball, football, and basketball. Look at them. Look at the way those teams are run. Like, honestly, take a moment. Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Diamondbacks have had, you know, a World Series.
Yep.
One win, a couple of appearances. I think that team is actually run fairly solidly. The Arizona Cardinals through the year, I mean, have often been the total doormat. And again, this is not just in terms of their results, but the way they're run. And then look at the Suns right now. I honestly, if the Mavericks thing wasn't so hot and controversial to people, I think you could argue that what the Suns did this trade deadline is even stupider. It's even more irresponsible. I don't know. Like, there's differences there. And trading a 25-year-old superstar in the middle of a night in his prime is about as crazy as you can do. At the same time, the Phoenix Suns did something that's just as crazy, which is have three of the highest-priced players in the game essentially walk into the locker room and be like, we're trading all of you. And then right before the deadline, be like, just kidding. Okay, go play. Oh, my God. No wonder they can't win a game.
Yeah.
They can't win a game. And they've got three A-plus basketball players on their squad. They can't win a game. I mean,
three finals appearances for Phoenix in their long career. And I always forget about the one in 2021 where they played Milwaukee in that shortened season, the first post-bubble year. And, of course, Barkley got Jordaned. And then the other one was 1976 where just anytime you bump into Rick Barry, ask him about that game against Phoenix, Game 7 of the Western Finals. He'll give you 20 minutes now. That was an absolute heartbreaker for the Warriors to lose to Phoenix in Game 7 to avoid going to the NBA Finals
but
again.
But, I mean, I just threw that city out there. Like, it's
a great throw.
But it's probably true in so many cities. So many cities. I mean, how does it feel right now? And, again, I'm just doing the West Coast.
Yeah.
Like Seattle. I know. They won a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
They also completely blew one. The Mariners have never done anything. And the
Sonics got a title.
The basketball team, and then they left.
Yep.
So that's fun.
Don't sleep on the Kraken. They're coming.
I'm totally going to sleep on the Kraken.
And I was thinking about Denver, because the Broncos have two, right? They got back-to-back.
The Broncos are pretty, well, no, more than two, because they got the Peyton Manning Broncos.
Oh, that's right.
They beat the Panthers. Yeah.
So the Broncos have three.
Yeah. Now the Rockies have appeared in one.
Yep.
But never won. And then the Nuggets, not too long ago.
Yep.
And if you do want to do a hockey, Colorado Avalanche had a fun run.
Yeah. With Patrick Roy.
A couple of decades
between
ago.
Between the pipes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know, I mean, most cities.
Yeah. Well, and the greater point of why I mentioned that is it's pretty fun and arrogant of us to be able to sit here and, yeah, let's pick the most surprising one of the 18 that we've had in our lifetime or whatever the number is. It's pretty fun to be able to pick and choose.
It's amazing. But I will firmly state, if this were to actually happen, this would be the most unlikely thing, certainly in my lifetime.
Okay.
Certainly in my lifetime. I can't tell you too much about what happened in 1972, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
But
Those are some good years.
In my lifetime, my parents thought the same. Anyway. Gross. Anyway.
Mike Breen on the call. Anyway, as it sits right now, I just had to. I couldn't resist. As it sits right now, what's the most surprising one? Like, forget the Warriors in 2025. It's not likely that it happens.
Of
but
course.
Up to now, which one is the most surprising? You know, you got three Giants. You've got five Warriors, one of which you were, on your back in a diaper, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
The A's in 89 wasn't surprising. The Niners in 82, the 81 season, I don't know, where would you go?
Surprising, it happened on my 7th birthday, so I don't know if I was really aware of the context. I was just like, this is cool. Oh, we won? Yay, cake! Anyway, but the ones that hit me emotionally, and it's probably an unfair conversation because I think just like having kids, like there's nothing like the first time.
Yep.
So the 2010 Giants and the 2015 Warriors, to me, felt like the first time because it was the first time that I had seen it. Obviously, for the Giants, it was the first time that they won here.
Yep.
For the Warriors, it was the first time in 40 years. So those hit so much more emotionally than 2022 or anything, even 2012, 2014 with the Giants. Which one is more surprising? I guess I would go 2010 Giants.
Okay.
But that might also be wrapped up in my emotions around it because that was just like, I couldn't believe that this was actually happening. And the Warriors, as much as you had that feeling, geez, what was their record? Was that, I think it was 67-15 or something like that?
Oh, the first time, yeah.
Yeah. Like, my God.
Yeah.
I think because we're Warrior fans, we're like, we're not actually going to win the title, are they? But they told you all regular season, like, I don't know if you're watching, we're amazing. We're really good. I thought Bogues earlier today had some fascinating comments about that, to where he was like, y'all didn't understand. I know what happened when Kevin Durant showed up, but that's just overpowering people. The way we played basketball in 2015, where we would show up each night and everybody was in such concert with one another, knew exactly what they were supposed to do, knew how to play basketball, and knew how to take other teams apart, I thought was a really fascinating comment. And so if you look back on it, our surprise was only based in our history. The reality of the moment was they were the best team by far.
They were, yet... And I shared the clip with you guys on the Vine, as Guru would call it, about Draymond Green saying, yeah, Steph and I, in the Memphis series, we had to go out and have a private dinner. We sat there for hours and talked about how we're going to get this thing right because they lost game three.
They were down, right?
Two games to one.
2-1.
And, you know, you even heard Bogues talk about it like, yeah, I'm going up against Z-Bo. And, you know, that was peak Zach Randolph where
Z-Bo.
He was a handful.
Oh, my God.
He was a big body who was nimble.
Yep.
He could rebound and defend a little bit. He was a problem. And so Steph and Draymond had to sit down 2-1 on the road, facing the prospect of maybe a 3-1 deficit.
Yeah,
so even though 67-15, they still had to do some work to get over the hump there.
We just had a caller who couldn't go on the air because he's at work and he has to pretend like he's still working. But he had enough time to call and let me know what his thoughts were.
Well, what's your job?
Remain nameless.
Put your boss on. We'll talk him down or her down. Like, what's the big deal?
But he said it's got to be 1975 and the Warriors winning then because Rick Barry himself has called it not only the most surprising title in Bay Area history, but in all of North American professional sports. Rick Barry said, quote, there is nothing remotely close to be expected to do nothing and then to sweep a team that was supposed to sweep us. It has never happened before or since.
Well, okay. First of all, I can't speak intelligently on it because I was 5 months old. Grandy, you weren't even
They swept the Bullets. Yes. Come on.
Yep. Okay, but
60 win Bullets, by the way.
I think whenever,
Wes Unsold, for those of you who partake.
Whenever we experience something ourselves, we're going to elevate that thing. So I cannot speak intelligently on what Rick is talking about, but I can say this. I mean, I covered the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, who went to Detroit to take on the Pistons and a team that literally was made up of a lot of good players, but no number one. They did not have a one. They had Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Tayshaun Prince. Like, good basketball team, but no dog. Meantime, here's the Lakers with Kobe, Shaq, Karl Malone, Gary Payton. I mean, all over the place. They were a traveling road show. And they got to the finals, and everyone thought the Pistons were going to be complete doormats. They beat the Lakers in five, and the only reason it wasn't four is because Kobe banked in a three-point buzzer beater in one of the home games. I can't remember if it was game one or two. I think it was game two. But Detroit crushed them. And I got to think, when Rick Barry says nothing close, I mean, that has to be close. Everyone thought the Pistons were going to get rolled, and they barely lost one game.
Yeah,
so it's got to be. It's got to be in the same arena.
For
but
sure.
Again, I can't. Well, I can't speak on it though.
And the other one that I would put up there is the 2011 NBA Finals, where LeBron James and company took on Dallas, led by Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd, and they were outdone by a Puerto Rican named J.J. Barea.
Yep.
They had no answer for the diminutive Puerto Rican, and a series during which I won a bet.
Oh.
That I'm still waiting the payback for.
Oh, what did you win? From who?
Lunch from a former, thank God, former radio partner who will remain nameless, but...
Until the break.
Oh, I'll tell you.
I know you will.
I've said his name before.
I know.
Off the air.
I know. I forgot.
Yeah. It's not that important, but...
Is he still alive?
I think. He's one of these, like, arrogant, like, I know it all talk show guys.
Well,
I said,
that's all of us.
Yeah, but we admit when we're wrong.
Yes.
And this dude lost a lunch bet to me 14 years ago, and by now, with interest, that's two dinners in a croissant.
At least. But food still exists, and you're still breathing, and so is he, so maybe it's coming to you, bud.
I'm good.
Hang in there.
I'm good. Hang in there, big guy.
Days ahead.
I do think that in terms of, like, shocking upsets, that's on the list.
Didn't the Heat lead that series 2-0 also? We looked that up. Didn't they go up 2-0 and then lose 4 in a row? I swear, if my memory serves.
Yeah, let me Google
it was
it right
1-0
now,
yeah. Miami, 1-1, and then 2-1 Miami.
Okay.
Dallas won the final three.
Got it. Okay, there it is. So they were up 2-1, and then three in a row for Dallas.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler also on that Dallas
Tyson
team.
Tyson Chandler. Jason Terry, right?
Yeah.
Jet?
I think so.
I think Jet Terry
sounds about
right.
I don't know how much basketball has changed since 2011. The final scores of the first four games of this series, 92-84, 95-93, 88-86, and 86-83.
Thank goodness. Yeah, because they let everybody beat each other up. And by the way, now we're really totally off the map.
This is fun, though.
No, but this is one thing I don't love in sports, which is where rule changes will be made. And then the older fan will be like, wow, this is just the wussification. They won't let each other beat each other up in the face anymore. When the hell was that a part of the game?
Right in the face.
Why? Like, I never understood it. Oh, the Pistons, the bad boys, they'd punch you right in the ribs. Right. That's not allowed. Like, and it shouldn't be. I've never, like, if you want to say it's gone too far, I'll hear you. But... it's just like the home plate thing. I'm back when Pete Rose totally destroyed a person's career in the All-Star game. Why is that okay? Why do we want that? You're not supposed to blow one another up.
Right.
I'm not supposed to break bones and have it be like, we're just playing hard. No.
I follow one of these like throwback accounts on Instagram where they'll just do like a clip of the day. And last week, the clip was of a guard, I think that he was playing for the Bulls, might have been San Antonio, named Steve Kerr.
Oh!
So Kerr catches it top of the circle, and he goes up to shoot a three, and Kevin Johnson comes from the side, and Mark literally doesn't go for the ball, gets him by the neck, and gives him like a choke hold, throw down to the ground.
Yep.
Foul. You're going to shoot three.
Yeah.
Nothing more. Benches didn't empty. I don't think he was ejected, but the violence of the play was like, oh my God.
No, it's a lot. Yeah. I don't miss that at all.
Right.
I mean,
and to Grandy's point, the series you're talking about, Lakers Pistons, game three, Detroit 88, Lakers 68.
Come on, man.
88-68.
Come on, man.
I mean,
I think the Suns and Grizzlies last night both had 100 points by the end of the third quarter. Did you see how many points they put up?
That thing was crazy.
I know they went to overtime. They scored 299 points in that basketball game. So anyway, could it go too far in one direction? Yes, it can.
Yeah.
But we don't need people beating one another up and saying now we're right. Wusses if we're not allowing that anymore.
Before we go to the phones, yeah. I just want to throw this out to you because as we're talking about biggest surprise title, it had me thinking about biggest heartbreak. Because I have to look at Grandy I know yours is personal, but I think about Grandy the Niner fan because he's now suffered through three Super Bowl losses in his lifetime. The Warriors had a couple of finals losses, and I know what you're going to answer as your biggest heartbreak, but what do you think is the biggest heartbreak of your life, sports-wise?
This is a terrible question.
That's kind of why I wanted to bring you in.
Yeah,
because
thanks, Dibs.
I really
we were really
this
having
question.
Fun for we the 5 it. O'clock
if
hour.
If we're in a yin, we also got a yang.
Man.
Or is it yin? Either way.
Yeah, whatever, it's both.
I can't pick between any of the Niners' collapses.
One of the two Super Bowls.
One of the three Super Bowls.
Oh, wow. Well, okay, you're talking about the Ravens one?
Yeah.
That's hard to call it a collapse, though.
On the goal line.
I know, but they came back. They're the ones who rallied back. It's not that it wasn't a come-from-ahead loss.
Yeah.
It was just a disappointing rally that fell short.
Super Bowl losses are like kids. You can't decide which one you hate more.
It's a good day for that comment, dude. Holy crap. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Anyhow.
I'd probably go the first loss to the Chiefs. I felt that they up by 10 in the fourth. I felt that was almost nearly in the bag.
Yeah, that one felt more in the bag, but I was more confident in the more recent one. That was a better team, I thought. I thought they were a more dominant team. But for me, it's completely easy.
Yeah.
The 0-2 Giants, I'll never be over it. I swear to God. It just that stop with your thunder sticks.
I'm doing my rally monkey.
It's the worst story of all time. It's literally the worst thing that could happen to a fan. I went to all 7 games. I knew after they collapsed in game 6 that that they were in trouble. That game 6, I'm sitting there. We're 7 outs away. I'm new in the business, and here we are. The Giants are going to win the World Series, and I've got a pass to go into the clubhouse and be in the middle of the champagne celebration. I'm like on cloud 99. You couldn't say nothing to me that night.
Up 5-0.
And then it all falls apart.
Mm.
And then one night later, now you're down on the field interviewing angels, screaming and yelling, pouring champagne all over each other, Dusty Baker and Kenny Lofton staring off into nothingness. Bonds, Aurelia, the rest. Never get over it.
Hey, Scott Spezio, what'd you think of the win? Great. And back then, to you in the studio,
and
Jim.
Then you work late, so you leave the game an hour and a half, 2 hours after all the fans. Not when you win a World Series. Get all the way to my slump out all the way to my car, get in the car to drive away, and there's people going,
oh, you got thunder sticks?
Whacking the top of my car with their red thunder sticks.
Ouch.
They're lucky I didn't run them over. Jerks.
Yeah. For me, it's the 2016 NBA Finals. And I know what came after that is only happens because you lost
no,
it.
No, that was tough.
73-9. I'm at my buddy's house, who will remain nameless because of what happened. We had the game. We were pausing the game, you know, to allow everyone to show up. So we were about 8 minutes behind, and we got to about a minute 12 left in the game, and his recording stopped. So I guess we were recorded it, and we were watching the recording. We were about 8 minutes behind. Minute 12 to go. It's nip and tuck in game 7, and the TV freezes. It's like, oh, no. So you hit exit, and all of a sudden, there's the final score. Cavs win. So I missed the final minute 12. I missed the Kyrie shot. I missed all of it.
Well, that's a good
buddy,
thing. But that's good. You didn't have to live through that.
Yeah, but you're...
Dude, it was a dagger.
But you're invested in this game.
I know.
And that's my team.
Oh,
and
it was a knife to the
heart. We're all over there, and we're all locking in, and... You know, I got my kids there and all these other families, and the recording freezes, and all you can do is hit exit, and then boop, back to the live channel, and you see, Cleveland, this is for you. So that, for me, is the heartbreak.
Thank God I was on the air. That's the only thing that saved me from throwing something through the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally on the air on Fox Sports Radio, and so you have to hold it together. Like, you have to. I'm like, it's a, Kyrie Irving has hit a shot, and finally, somebody, after 78 straight bricks on both sides, somebody has hit a shot. Kyrie Irving has hit a shot, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have the lead with a minute to go and all this time. I mean, you're sitting there broadcasting it, and so you're able to hold it together. And that was Father's Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you leave work, and I'll never forget it. You head home, and I walk into the house just so bummed. And then you get home, and there's, because the kids at that time were at the age, what year is this again?
2016.
2016, so that means Abe is...
He's nine.
Is nine, Ella's seven, Jude is two. And so Jude is like in the bath, and they're in there, you know, playing with him, and then you walk in, and there's your three kids in the bathroom, and they're just like, are you okay, Dad? Happy Father's Day. And you're like, all right, I guess everything's fine. I'm not going to be a jerk now and, like, throw something. I don't want to talk to you kids.
Yep.
Grandy, what do you got?
A year that a championship that you guys haven't brought up yet, the 2014 Giants, kind of feels like the forgotten one. I mean... You think about what that postseason run was, which started in the wild card. They had like half of a pitching staff. It was just Bumgarner and a little bit of Kane and Vogelsong.
I mean, there was Peavy and Hudson.
Hudson started game seven and got two outs?
Three outs or something. Yeah, exactly.
They started Juan Perez in game seven. Blanco was the starting center fielder.
Juan Perez, almost the guy who dropped the ball eight times to let the Royals tie the game.
Like, that team, obviously Bumgarner was amazing, but that, and they had, you know,
Pence.
Posey and Bumgarner, or Posey and Sandoval and Pence. And you obviously have some quality guys there. But, man, there was also a lot of nobodies that contributed to that run. Ishikawa hit the walk-off to win the pennant.
No, that's a good point.
Like, that was surprising as hell.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. 888-957-9570. Marco in the city. Hi, Marco. Thanks for calling.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
How are you? Well, anyway, so my most unlikely championship was happiness for me, lifelong Cincinnati Reds fan. We went wire to wire in 1990. Pretty much like you were saying, the Dubs did in 2015. They were doing it during the regular season. And then they went up against the swinging Oakland A's and swept them in four games. So heartbreak for the Bay, but the Queen City got an unlikely championship.
Indeed they did. Marco, thanks. Yeah. I love those are the ones. But it's funny, just to bring it back to why we're talking about this, like all of these different dynamics that we're talking about and memories that we're bringing up and the unlikelihood of it and the emotions surrounding it, none of it would surprise me more than if the Warriors won it all. None of it. This would be out of control if this thing actually went that far.
Yeah, and if you think about it in more global terms, if they wind up as the sixth seed, only one sixth seed has ever won the NBA championship. It was the Houston Rockets,
right?
The Houston Rockets were the sixth, and they got over on the Jordan-less Bulls, I think. No, they didn't play the Bulls in the finals, but that was the time where Jordan was out. Houston went back-to-back during the 2 years where Jordan was playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those years, they were the sixth seed. And Jimmy Butler led an eight-seeded Miami to the finals. They didn't win the finals, but if the Warriors were to get their fifth championship out of a sixth seed, meaning you get through Denver, OKC, perhaps Memphis, and then the defending champion, Boston?
I mean,
at that point, you'd have to say that's the most surprising.
Totally. And by the way, I haven't asked you this. Like while we're going down this fun and very hypothetical lane.
It's a great lane.
Right, but like, what would this do for Butler's legacy?
Oh.
He's already called playoff Jimmy, even though he's got no rings. And it's mainly for, I know he's performed well all the time, but it's mainly for what he's done and what he did in Miami. But when you go do it for another franchise, and if you literally join a team that's a game over 500 at the All-Star break, if you jump in on that and turnkey become this good, this fast, he's actually the one with the most to gain in terms of legacy.
Right, or you could just say he is a championship chaser. He had to join the Warriors to get it done.
I wouldn't say that
had
at all.
Had to join a juggernaut to get it done. But yeah, your point is well taken. And I'm just looking at champions by seed. And if you're worse than a 3 seed, there have only been 11 teams to even make the NBA Finals. And those teams are 2-9. Only one 4 seed has ever won it, and it was the Boston Celtics in 1969. So unless you're a top 3 seed, historically, you have almost no chance. So if the Warriors did do it out of the 6 seed, or maybe they fight up to the 5, even that itself, Mark, would be borderline historic.
Yes, I agreed. Let's go to Rudy in Pittsburgh. Hi, Rudy. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. The 73-9 Warriors definitely hurts a lot, but I feel like the other championships kind of take a little bit of the sting off of it. For me, it's the Tuck Rule game for the Raiders. Them losing the Super Bowl and the Patriots and Brady getting setting up for their legacy, and then the Raiders basically being the Raiders from then since on. So it's definitely the Raiders Tuck Rule game for me.
Hey, Rudy, can I ask you a question? Since clearly you're a Raiders fan and you're upset with Tom Brady, how would you feel if he brings Matt Stafford to your organization?
Matt Stafford is a great quarterback. I've got nothing against him, but bringing Jimmy Garoppolo was a joke. We need to start a new draft, build a team the way it's supposed to be built, offensive, defensive line. Matt Stafford is great, nothing against him, but they can keep him.
Okay, Rudy, thanks.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo to the Raiders is not on Tom Brady's hands.
No.
There's no blood on his hands there. He wasn't there yet.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this story about how he met with Matt Stafford. I think they're up in Canada or something. They're somewhere up on a fancy schmancy ski trip, and it's hysterical because a reporter came out and said, yep, Tom Brady has met with Matt Stafford and invited him up there and hosted him, and they made food, and they talked and hung out. All totally illegal. That's complete tampering, if that's true. So Rappaport comes out right afterward today and goes, so, just to clear up the report, this was a chance meeting.
Okay.
At a remote location where they just ran into one another. Oh, hey, you're Matt. I know you. You're Tom.
You like breakfast?
Let's get a drink. We're just two people skiing because we both got a lot of money. We should sit and talk, and who knows what conversation will come up.
Man, so of all the ski resorts and all the continents on this great planet, oh my goodness.
Can't believe we ended up here.
Yeah.
Tampering. It is.
Right.
By the way, on multiple levels, Tom's part owner of the Raiders. The guy who reported the meeting works for Fox. Who does Tom work for? Fox. I mean, the
it could have been Tom the broadcaster, not Tom the team owner. He could have just been in broadcast mode.
I guess. He's working with Matt Stafford to figure out their pre-show meeting for if they do a Rams game this year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hysterical. Ian Rappaport, this is an hour ago. Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford, like many other high-profile people, both own houses in the same ski community.
Okay. Well, it's fine then. And honestly, the whole thing about tampering in and of itself to me is kind of stupid. Like, he can't...
They're in Montana.
Right.
This is the original tweet. It's the funniest thing I've read. Raiders minority owner and Tom Brady and Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford ran into each other at a ski resort in Montana. The meeting, unplanned, was not extensive or in-depth and did not include Brady hosting or recruiting Stafford, despite reports saying otherwise.
How does he know? You know? How does he know what went on as they shared a lift up to the double black diamond?
Sauces.
Right.
Yeah, sauces.
Yeah. And the source is, hey, tell Rappaport that, you know, we just talked about fresh powder. We didn't talk about football at all. We got to kill this thing. Kill, kill, kill. Got to snuff this thing out.
Oh, it's so funny. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Still time for you to weigh in. 888-957-9570. If you missed any of the key comments that John Lynch had earlier today, getting ready for the combine, you're going to want to hear them. We've got them for you next on Willard and Dibs.
Sorry, I lost my voice yesterday.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I feel for him, man. I've tried to do shows like that. Not easy.
Yeah?
Not easy.
I had one about a month ago, and you guys had to pull the plug on me.
You
I was dying.
Oh, God. I want to get to the John Lynch stuff, but check this out. Just for giggles and for the idea of the Warriors being the 8 seed, stir this around in your drink.
Okay.
Take a sip. So, you know, OKC just did that little back-to-back with Minnesota, and they beat Minnesota in Minnesota, and then they had a big lead at home the very next night against the Wolves. And then the Wolves erased a 24-point deficit and went on to win the basketball game against OKC. And some of the guys talked about after the game sort of what they noticed in OKC. And analysts said, watch out. Other teams are going to watch what Minnesota did in that quarter and try to emulate it, which is starting to throw tons and tons, like overdoing the defense on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Just that's what OKC's doing. Overwhelm them. Sort of similar to what teams were doing against the Warriors when they were having success there. Well, what's OKC's next game? Well, they're in Brooklyn. That's a crappy team. I'm sure OKC will easily handle that. It's halftime in Brooklyn. And the Nets are up by 15.
Wow.
So, it's just two games. And right. Actually, this one's far from over.
And Shai, just looking at it, is 6 of 7. He's got 14 points.
Right, but that means that, like, quite frankly, because there are, count them up, 1, 2, 3 other Thunder players who have at least as many shot attempts as Shai, they're getting the ball out of his hands. That's not a lot of shots for him for a half.
Seven, yeah.
That's not a lot at all.
Right, right. And, you know, it's not a problem if the rest of the team can actually make a shot, but the rest of them, Thunders, are 19 for 42 from the floor, which is not very good. And Lou Dort, 1 of 7. If I'm playing the Thunder, yeah, Lou, go ahead and let it fly, LD. He's 1 of 5 from three. If Holmgren's not hitting, I do like their team. They're deep, but
they're a good team.
It goes through Shai without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Granny, what's up?
Let me ask you guys this. So Thunder down by 15 at Brooklyn at halftime. What do you guys think the live line is, the spread? Who do you think Vegas thinks is going to win this basketball game? Nets up by 15 at half.
Okay, see, I probably think that they're like I'll say -3.5.
I was going to say 4, probably, yeah.
Willard, you're closer, but you're both a decent amount off. OKC favored by 0.5 point.
Half okay. a point.
Essentially a pick 'em.
So they're just saying, hang on, talk for a second.
Well, and, you know, that would mean that the second half spread is probably Thunder -14.
Or 15.5, if you
right,
will.
Right, depending on, you know, how you think that's going to go, which is... those are always slippery. I've been into live betting lately.
That's
but,
a lot of points to cover up.
Right, and it's on the road. Yep. So if you think that OKC still is going to win, then you'll lay 14.5 or 15 in the second half. But when you're down 15, you can get down 27, and they could just shut it down, shut it down.
They could, but I'll tell you why that line is what it is and why I wouldn't bet the Nets is that Vegas is looking at what the Nets just did from the three-point line in the first
right?
half.
Right? I'm looking at that.
They went 15 to 30. You ain't doing that again. You are not doing it. 15, they're shooting 50% from three. They hit 15 of them in the first half.
Well, they took 30.
Right.
That's a Boston Celtics-like pace.
How many
there.
Did Cam Johnson make?
3 for 5.
Oh, there we go.
3 for 5. And his buddy Keon Johnson is 4 for 7. They've combined to go 7 for 12 from three.
All 5 guys who played off the bench are at least a -7, -13, -13. The starters are all nearly +30. That's crazy.
Yeah, they went off. They absolutely went off. And no, they're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it again. All right.
You bet it?
No.
You didn't get in there?
No. I don't like it. I just said I don't like it. I don't like it. Okay. I got other things cooking tonight.
Yeah, you do.
I got some stuff cooking. Come on, Cade Cunningham. Get yourself going. Anyway, how's this grab all of you? John Lynch spoke today, and there were two comments that really got the most attention, and one of them was about Brock Purdy.
We have started negotiations. We're talking. I won't go into negotiations, like always is our stance. I want Brock to be our quarterback as long as we're here and beyond, and we'll leave it at that. I think the final thing, there's no guarantees that we get something done, but my experience has been when both sides are motivated, there's ample opportunity to do so, and we've been able to do that.
You know, if he had removed one sentence there, I don't even think this would be newsworthy, but all of a sudden at the end, he goes, look, there's no guarantee that it's going to get done. And you could take that as a stock GM answer, but I took it to mean a little bit more. And I really think that a lot of what we heard from John Lynch today is suggesting that the 49ers are none too comfortable with the narrative that over the last two summers, they've gotten their butts kicked on contracts. And this is their way of saying, like, this one's supposed to be easy. You've all said, oh, $60 million, quarterback, what are you going to do? There's no other options out there. I think the Niners are trying to take their team back. And so he dropped a little message in there to be like, look, of course we want to sign Brock Purdy and we want him to be our quarterback, but we're not going to just do this no matter what. Like, he can't just walk in here and be like, actually make it 70. Like, no, we're still going to sit at the table and have a conversation here.
And they should, and everybody knows that, but just what he said before should calm everyone's nerves, those people who want Brock to come back, which is, you know, if both sides are motivated, these things usually get done pretty easily. And I'm just paraphrasing, but that seems to be what this is. Both sides are motivated. Brock would love to have a raise from $1 million to, I don't know, $60 million, if that's what it's going to be. Or,
well, I think next year it gets raised to about $1.1.
Okay, yeah. That's fun.
The year after that, though, it's going to go well.
Right, but even this year, if he signs, the signing bonus, he gets it. Yeah. So it would be a nice chunk of change. And if you're the team, what else are you going to do at quarterback? And we had this conversation with Greg Cosell, friend of the program. There's no quarterback store out there where you can just go and get a quarterback. So,
especially not this offseason.
Right, and not this draft either.
No, so exactly right.
Both sides are, they know they need each other. This thing's going to get done.
And then there was the comment on Deebo Samuel.
We're on good terms with Deebo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start. And, you know, I think we're going to honor that. Don't like seeing great players. And he is a great player. He's, you know, I think often one of my favorite draft picks of my time. You see, this guy's just he makes plays. And he makes game-changing plays. And, you know, everything's good, you know, but I think at some point time happens, and he asked for that. We don't always, you know, there's contracts and things, but, you know, it probably makes sense, so we're at least allowing him to look, and we're having conversations. We'll see where that goes.
I've been so fascinated, like, sort of talking to people about this one, because a lot of people seem to be taking it at face value. It's a trade request. And because they love Deebo so much, they want to honor that. I'm like, come on, man. It goes so much deeper than that. I think they're saying that because they do love Deebo, and so they want him to save face. So they're making it sound like it's a trade request. But the bottom line to me is, if they still wanted him on the team, they wouldn't trade him. Same guy made a trade request two years ago. Niners looked at him and went, no, sign this deal. And so listen to the things he said there at the end. Time happens. And, quote, it probably makes sense. Those, to me, are little cues that the Niners are saying, we agree with Deebo that it's time for him to play with a different team.
Yeah, and I think that they look at the reality of the situation, which is he's owed and due a lot of money, and that's coming soon. And they probably, behind closed doors, had a conversation with him about a restructure and a reduction. And he's thinking, no, I've got $15 million coming in March. I want to get that money. And if, you know, if you want to restructure me, then I want to go somewhere else. And they're thinking, okay, we don't want to pay you. We'd hate to lose you. But if you don't want to play for $8 million a year, then we're going to have to part ways.
Hey, real quick, Triples for Autism brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made 15 threes last night. That's another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Buddy Hield had the most. He had four. Moses Moody, 3 for 3. Off of the bench, couple for Steph. GP2 last night. Kevin Knox made a couple of threes. That's the 35th donation of the year for Triples for Autism. If you want to get involved yourself, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to pettinellifp.com. You know what's tonight.
Rain dance!
Warrior Roundtable is right around the corner. For those of you who don't speak 95.7 The Game, that means you get a full hour of Gary St. Jean and Kevin Dana.
Can't wait.
Yeah, with a little Warriors Roundtable, which is coming up next. But in the meantime, do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do it. Not for long, though.
No?
Well, there's a game.
Ah, that's right.
At 4 o'clock.
East Coast feel ya.
Yeah, so we'll get in here and we'll do the darn thing, but then we'll get out of the way and let the Warriors go get another dub. All right?
Keep stacking them, boys.
For Dibs, for Grandy, and for Lucas's cough, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.